not to stay in my house, dude, because you're overblowing some disease? No, that shit is not gonna happen, bro. I don't give a fuck who they think they are. That this shit is like killing people crazy. No. Yeah. Pull up the statistics of the flu for the last 5 years, and you'll notice that we lose the same amount of people, if not more, to the regular flu than we have to the coronavirus. Except that people are just making a big thing of it. Like, if the media didn't talk about the coronavirus right now, guess what? People fucking forget about it.
You die every night. Every night that you go to sleep, you wake up. That's a new life. When you shut down, when you think, oh, I'm just going to go to sleep, I'm going to go to a dream, that's you are sleeping in one world and wake in another world. And every night as you live in this realm, that is what's happening. Who knows where you're going? You might be going to places that you don't want no one else to know. You might be going to the place you love to go. You might be going to a place that you dreamt of, but you're going there. But do you need this air that we breathe here? Do you need this food that we eat here? Do you need any of these realities that you think is real? Do you need it when you're in that other world? Because you're divided. You're dead. You're gone. But you're alive somewhere else. So keep that in mind. A change will come. But are you ready for that change? And regardless if you're not or if you are, you have to face it. And you have to deal with it, friends. Change. That's right. Change. There it is. How change is scary. Now, for all my folks out there listening, change is a reality or actuality that comes in every form of life. Like Sam Cooke said, a change gonna come. And there's nothing you and I can do about it. Just like nature, when you look and you see it's springtime, what happens in spring? Everything comes to life, right? And then you go to fall. What happens to fall? Everything falls. You go to winter. What happens to winter? Everything goes back to sleep or death, if you will, or divide, if you will, right? What happens to summer when things are bright and life is just abundance and everything is great, and but that continues. It's just part of life. You're afraid to die? Just know this. Dying is basically just, if you really break it down, just look at the word. I'm into etymology. And if you break the word die, it just means divide, diabolos. Just divide two. That's all that is. You will divide. Think about this. You die every night. Let's just be frank. I mean, I'm just... Greeting, wholeness, balance, and vibrations to all. Welcome to the Truth Revealed Campaign, TRC. I am your host, Princeton Oluwale Martin Jr., better known as Palm J, who's dedicated to bringing you the most in truth. Please sit back or forward and let's get ready for the truth train ride. I want to give thanks for all of those who are joining us tonight. We are on a time in life that is so precious. We are living in perilous times. But I have a great, awesome guest with me tonight that is going to get a lot of these thoughts that we may have of what's going on, what's happening. We are going to get those things addressed. Whether you awaken, whether you're not awakened, you will be tonight. I know you can be anywhere in the world right now, but we here at TRC greatly appreciate you stopping by to listen to us. If you are not a truth seeker, if you are a lover of lies, this podcast will not serve you any purpose. However, the information revealed here tonight may cause cognitive dissonance. And if you are the lover of truth, please open the door and proceed, and it shall set you free. So, friends, ladies and gentlemen, all around the world, I have an awesome friend that I'm bringing again on the show, on the podcast. I've been here before, so he's not a stranger to any one of you guys. Tonight, we're going to talk about topics that, if you haven't already heard of it, yeah, this is where the cognitive dissonance is going to come into play. But if you have, that's awesome. Join the conversation. Leave a comment, you know, in the comment section of the podcast. On Anchor. Call in. Weigh in. So, without further ado, let's not waste any more time. Let's get into the deep conversation. But before we do that, hold on. I cannot go any further. I would be remiss if I don't acknowledge my good friend, Solar Return. Today is a special night, not only because it's just another night, but this is Jews night. This is the day that he was introduced into the world that we call Earth. But I'll let him talk about that because I want to hear about where did Drew come from and his journey up to this point. And we're going to go into discussions in the false matrix, about the false matrix, and into the rabbit hole. Rabbit hole that we are too afraid to go into because it's too much to handle. But tonight we're gonna talk about that. And also I want to share something because I am an Aries. The last time myself and Drew was on was around April 8th, and that day I turned another moon. And I'm in the Aries department when it comes to the astrological. Celestial powers. And if I'm not mistaken, Drew, you're in the Taurus, right?
Brother, I am a true Taurus. When I was younger, my mom, when she was alive, God bless her soul, she used to like to go to tarot card, you know, readers and whatnot. And, I happened to go with her one time, and the lady said, "You're a true Taurus." And I was like, "Well, what do you mean by true Taurus?" Well, if you take the number 30, if you write it down, and then you turn it sideways, it actually makes the bullhead with the horns. The number 30. So she was like, "You are a true Taurus." And I was like, "Oh, shit." Right. I said the same thing. I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing. And she's like, yeah, you bullheaded son of a bitch, but you're good. But you're good.
Oh, man, I like that. I like that story. That's awesome. Yeah, man. My little man, I got two boys. One is 2 years old. Another one, he just turned 11 months old today. And actually, next month, on the 30th, he will be 1 year old, so he's also a Taurus. Is he a Taurus? I'm not sure.
No, I think I think Taurus goes from,
I'm not sure. I think maybe what's the one that has two faces? I think he may be that one.
Is that Gemini? I think
he's a Gemini.
I think the astrological signs I think that they start on the 20th of a month. So I think it was April 20th until May 20th, I believe.
Okay. All right. Let me do a quick fact check. I'm not sure, but I'm gonna bring it up right now.
Okay. Yeah. See, I gotta look it up also, man. So it is saying that it's April 20th to May 20th is a Taurus. So Gemini, you were correct. Yeah. It is Gemini. So what's crazy is that my son is to be 21 on the 21st of May.
Oh wow. Oh,
so he happens to be a Gemini also on the first day.
Yeah. That's powerful.
Yeah, man. Hey.
That's powerful.
It's amazing the people that you meet on this planet and stuff like that and how much people have in common.
Yeah.
And don't know it. And don't know it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's so true, man. I want to just read just some quick general facts that most people may probably already know, but lots haven't got the actual breakdown of what a Taurus really is. So according to, Wikipedia, right? Wikipedia. According to Wikipedia, as you can read books and research and find other information, but according to Wikipedia, they say that Taurus is one of the constellations of the zodiac and is located in the northern celestial hemisphere. A Taurus is a large and prominent constellation, and they don't go into more of the behaviors and stuff. I would like to. Do you know any of the behaviors of a Taurus in general, too?
I've read some stuff, but you know, it depends on who you ask. So, I mean, you know, like you could pull up Wikipedia, you could pull up, you know, different astrological, websites and stuff like that, and they'll all have a little bit of a different thing and stuff. Like basically, from what I understand, like the most important traits is that we are very we're bullheaded, but we're very good with money. We also are very loyal. And there was a couple of other ones and whatnot. Now, look, and again, some of them I don't agree with, at least not with me. Some of them
I got you. Yeah.
I agree with. You know, some of them are absolutely, you know, so again, I mean, it really depends on who you ask, but the ones that I mentioned are the ones that I've seen.
That you know, yeah, yeah.
That I see in most of the descriptions, no matter what page you go on, that's what they usually say. They say you're stubborn, you're good with money, and you're loyal.
I agree with those.
I'm pretty good with money. I'm stubborn as shit. And I'm also the loyalest person that I know.
Okay. And I would have to agree with you when it comes to the bull and Taurus sign, because Aries is very, very, very similar, extremely similar when it comes to that. So I know. I do know that those two signs, like, they're kind of like brothers, you know what I mean? Like, they're one of a kind, you know? They're partners, you know? It's like you see the ram, you see the bull, that's how it is. They both go, they butt heads, but they still family, you know.
Yeah. And they're right after each other, though, too. So,
But yeah, man, too. Let's talk, bro. Let's talk because, like I said, today's another day that you're, you know, fortunate and blessed to be here amongst the alive and the living, and amongst the conscious beings. And I want to talk to you on whatever your mind goes within the realms of, you know, what's really happening. What are people not paying attention in this very moment? What are they not paying attention to? You know, when we talk about the false matrix system, and when we talk about, you know, this rabbit hole, there's so much subject matters that we can cover. But I want you to take the flight, man, and be the captain in these airways of consciousness.
Well, I mean, I think that there's a broad array of shit that people don't. Well, I mean, like, let's do it like this. When a lot of the time people think one way.
Yeah.
And that tends to be an issue because they don't think outside the box.
Cool.
I believe that thinking outside the box and putting questions out there that might seem far-fetched tend to be not so far-fetched once you do research on them.
Yeah. For example.
Well, I mean, like, let's do this. Look at the Matrix. Okay, yeah. The movie The Matrix. Okay? Yeah. Like, somebody didn't just make up a story and whatnot, you know what I'm saying, because they have, like, this creative mind. These are things that they probably, I'm going to say more probably, have been working on for decades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to tap into your mind with technology. Like, look, what was it, like 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, I sent you over that that patent.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember reading that. Yeah,
it's mind blowing, right?
Oh yeah, oh definitely.
Right. Well, I mean, like, you know, that right there. I know that there was movies. I don't remember which one specifically, but I know that there was movies that, you know, they would like wave a wand over your arm because you had a chip implanted in you, and it would tell you like how much money you have. Where you work, what your social life is, what your family life is, so on and so forth. Well, yeah. I mean, these are things that they've been working on for decades. It isn't something that somebody just made up in a movie and whatnot, and then the people are like, you know what, that's a great idea, let's go with what the movie said. No. The movie based it off of something that they either read about, that they heard about, something that was going on. So, you know, when I saw that patent, first of all, the number of the patent was out of control, man. Like, World Order 2020-060606.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, right there, first of all, if you got any patent that has the mark of the beast in it, you know it's not good. I mean, that's number one. And the fact that it came from Microsoft and Bill Gates, I mean, I know he's not affiliated with them anymore, but it literally was his patent or his idea that they patented. And, you know, this chip, what it is they want to implant a chip into you and use it for cryptocurrency. So get rid of the economy. So drop all paper money, get rid of bank accounts, get rid of credit cards. And you're going to be valued as a human being by what's in that chip in your wrist. So you potentially become a person and they can value you through what's on your chip.
Mm-hmm.
So That's a bit creepy, because then it even goes a step further. Like, I try to look at the big picture. Like, okay, is it only going to be used for that? No. Let's take it a step further. Bill Gates is the one that's always pushing these vaccines. He's been doing it for years and years and years and years. So if this gets implemented, the next step after that is going to become, okay, well, let's make sure everybody gets their vaccines. If you don't get your vaccine, it's going to be on that chip. So whenever you go to the store and you want to go buy food, they're going to wave your arm in front of a scanner and they're going to be like, oh, okay, you've got money on there. Oh, but you didn't get your vaccine. So guess what? We're not going to sell you food. Or you're not going to be able to get a job now. Or, you know, you can't travel. Yeah. So in essence, what it is, it's a leash. It's literally having Big Brother watch you all the time.
24/7, yeah.
Right. And they just what's crazy is that they patented it on, I believe it was March 26th of this year, during this whole coronavirus shit. So, like, they kind of go hand in hand, man. And, like, look, man, you're going to take my life before that shit happens to me. I promise.
I hear that. Hey, I'm with you on that, man. I'm not down with all that myself, man.
No, I'm
with you on that.
Yeah, I'm not that guy, man. That's not going to happen. Like, I will fight till the death before you do that shit to me. I was born on this planet. I don't have a ruler. Don't choose to have a ruler. Don't want somebody telling me what the fuck I can and cannot do. Like, I'm going to go do shit. And I understand that there has to be guidelines and laws. Like, I understand that, because, you know, that's what keeps peace in a lot of ways. It keeps peace. But when you start overstepping people's constitutional rights,
violation.
Draw the line. I absolutely draw the line. It's not going to happen. So, you know, I mean, that's just one example, man. Like, I hope at some point the general public starts to wake up just a little bit, because a lot of people like to hear. This is just personal. So right now I'm in Phoenix. I live in Vegas. But, you know, I took a vacation. I made these plans only like a month and a half ago. So this was while the coronavirus shit was going down. Like, I don't wear a mask. I don't stay at home. Even though shit is closed up, I still go out and I walk. I still bump into a lot of people I know and I give them a pound. I'm just doing shit the way that it normally was before the coronavirus, because I personally know, coronavirus is nothing more than a virus. It's a flu.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And they're blowing shit out of proportion because they want to scare the general public, and they want to see how the sheep are going to react when they're told to be herded up. So I came out to Phoenix because I was supposed to meet somebody, and that person flaked because they are not woke.
Yeah.
And they listen to the news and they're like, hey, you know, this coronavirus stuff, I'm afraid of it, and, you know, it's a killer and all this. And I'm trying to wake this person up and explain to them, like, no, what you need to understand is that it's just a flu. It's nothing more than that. That the mainstream media and a lot of the, unfortunately, it's the Democratic side. Like, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat.
It's true. No, I don't have time for none of that myself, but it's one side that's blown out of proportion, and I agree.
Right. And the left side tends to run Hollywood, and they run mainstream media, and they run social media, and they run everything that people invest their time into, unfortunately.
Sure.
So whatever their narrative is, that's what gets pushed. So when people have that crammed down their throat all the time, they're going to tend to believe it. And what's really unfortunate is that people are very complacent and lazy, and they don't want to do the research themselves. Like right now should be the perfect time for everybody to do research because you don't have anything to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got a fucking computer, like Google shit, and then start going down rabbit holes. Start reading different, different papers from different people. Don't just read the same thing. Like if CNN says this, don't go read articles only by CNN. It makes no sense. Like read shit from CNN, read shit from the Washington Gazette, read shit from the Mercury Times, read shit from the Daily Caller, read shit. You know what I'm saying? Because what you're gonna see is different variations of whatever the subject happens to be. Different sides, different outlooks. And then what you need to do after that is you need to dig deeper and figure out what is fact and what is a narrative.
That's right.
And once you start seeing what the facts are, then you're going to realize who's actually telling the truth. And you'll start to see that more and more. And once you start seeing who's telling the truth, those are the people that you're going to start leaning towards and listening to about advice on what's going down, because they usually, most people tend to have a track record, whether it's a positive or a negative, it's a track record.
That's true.
So, you know, I mean, that's what it is. People need to educate themselves, not just go off of the first thing that they hear and think that that's truth, because 9 out of 10 times it's absolutely false.
Yeah, but okay. Let me say this, because I agree with you what you said 100%. Now I also know that there are structure in place to keep people in a stoop, if you will, to keep people as sheeple, if you will. So I will say structures like religious structures, you know, structures like all these made up. Organized structures that are used to literally, like churches, synagogues, what have you, those places are used as a propaganda tool to either continue something such as this to keep the fear in people, because it's not the fear of the so-called their God individually, is the fear of the government. So how do those people, because that's who I'm in my take is trying to reach to. Those people who are caught up in these structures of organized lies, you know, to put fear in their hearts and fears in their minds. How do you get them to, because the advice you just gave was great. How you get them to see, listen, nah, don't go that route. Go this route. What do you say to them?
Here's what it is, man. People, we all have the same chemistry because we're all human beings, but we also all have different chemistry.
Yeah.
Like some people, look, the brain is a crazy thing, man. We are not even close to understanding how the thing works.
Yeah.
You talk about like places of prayer.
Yeah.
So why do we need a place of prayer?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much a firm believer that religion is nothing more than a cult. That's what it really is. You have an ideology that you are focused on, and you're preaching that to people.
Yeah.
So now, do some people need that? I guess. There's people that, I don't need somebody to tell me that there's a God or a higher power, because I've seen some shit that'll fuck your mind up in my life. I also have had things happen to me that would fuck a normal person up for, in their mind and stuff, where they would just lose it.
Yeah. Do you mind sharing at least one of them? One just so I can people can hear it and know that maybe they can relate to it too.
Well, I don't believe that they'll be able to, and I kind of hope that they don't. But I'll give you an example. So when I was younger, I would say this was when I was 18, 19 years old. And again, like I turned 43 today. So we're talking like 25 years ago. So I was hanging out with a buddy of mine, and we decided to do some acid.
Okay.
And it wasn't what happened while I was actually high on the acid. It was actually after the acid was done and we went to sleep, I had an out-of-body experience while I was sleeping. Literally what happened was I was laying on his floor and I saw myself, like I was literally floating above my own body, looking down at myself. And I looked around and everything was exactly the way it was supposed to be. I mean, like to the T, like the floor was the right color. The walls were the right color. Even my friend laying in his bed asleep, that was happening as well. So this was all like real time.
Yeah.
And, but I was out of my body.
Yeah.
And,
astral projection. Yeah.
Okay. So what was crazy about it is that, like, I remember I started calling out his name. This guy's name was Dave. And I was like, Dave. And all of a sudden I, like, woke up and, like, I was looking at him. And when I sat up, he happened to get up at the same time and turned on his light. And he started crying. I was like, Dave, are you okay, dude? And he was literally staring at me like terrified. And it was because I was glowing blue. His mom heard the commotion and she came in and opened up the door and she like gasped and was like, you're glowing.
Holy.
And this lady was like anti-drug, like not nowhere near high, didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't do anything. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like he saw it and she saw it and it freaked them out, but it freaked me out even more because of the steps that happened before that happened. So can I explain it? No. I mean, like, for years I was like, okay, maybe it was just the acid, or maybe it was this, maybe it was that. But in reality, like, I had already come down. I have done acid way too many times, and like nothing like that ever happened before ever. Lots of hallucinates. I've done peyote, I've done mushrooms, I've done acid, I've done mescaline. I mean, really, the only stuff that I haven't done is ayahuasca and DMT.
I was just about to ask you about that. What about the toad? What about the toad?
Yeah, the ones that I named are the ones that I've done. I know I've done peyote, I've done mescaline, I've done mushrooms, I've done acid, and I believe that would be it for like your hard psychedelics. You know, like I've done ecstasy and I've never done like crazy shit. You know what I'm saying? Like I've never done like heroin or PCP or any of that like chemically fucked up shit. Have I smoked opium? Yeah, I've smoked hash. You know, I've tried a little bit of everything, but there was just certain things that I was just like, nah, that's not for me, man.
Yeah,
you know? So I didn't do them. But like I was very much into psychedelics because the first time I did them, I just enjoyed the fact that I was doing them. I was having fun, the colors and everything. But like after doing them for a long time, well, not after doing it for a long time, but in the process of doing them over a long time, I understood that like you can learn from it. and that you're opening up your mind and using portions of your brain that you normally would not do when you're sober. Yeah. So I started using it as a learning tool. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I ended up doing more and more of it. But, you know, again, going back to the story, it's just that, you know, I've done it so many times before then, and I never had anything like that happen before. So to me, it's unexplainable. Like, for you to see your own body and to basically, it was literally like, if you're walking around right now, us live as day, you know, talking here and stuff like that, except that, like, I'm out of my shell.
Yeah, yeah. No, I. What if I told you I had an experience like that myself?
I would believe it, but I also want to hear it.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely agree with you on everything you said. I'm very aware with astral projection, astral traveling, and even out of body experiences, especially when it comes to out of body experience. I can tell you there was a time when I was in the act of doing something that I didn't feel that that's what I should be doing. And just like my higher, extremely higher self basically took me out of that experience and made me look at that experience and question it. Is this something you think you should be doing? And it's like I was having a conversation with my higher self out of my body, looking at myself doing the thing that I felt that I shouldn't be doing. Now, can I talk about the thing that I shouldn't be doing? At this moment, I can say that for another story. But let's just say, it wasn't something that I approved of, and I know that it was something that my higher self felt that I could do better, that this is not the way. And I will never forget it because I had a literal conversation with myself, but myself was looking at my other self. People talk about Cain and Abel. People talk about right or wrong, or good or bad, positive or negative. But there's something that people aren't aware of when it comes to that whole paradigm. It's all about balance, and that's all that it's talking about. You're right, you're left, you're Cain, you're Abel. You're right, you're wrong, or you're right, you're positive or you're negative. It's all about balance. And when I realized myself, my higher self was out of balance, and that's what this was about, it was put me in the mindset to correct that. Say, listen, what you're doing, you may think is okay in this time, in this self, but at a later point in your life, you are not going to be okay with that. And from that day, I've always look at myself and look at situations that that other folks are in and feel very non-judgmental, if you will, because I realized, like, you don't know what anyone in this world is going through when they're in that moment, that time of hardships and adversity. So the things in which they may have to do or are forced to do or, you know, in any way, you cannot judge them, because at the end of the day, you're really judging yourself. And I had to realize I had to set my balance with myself before I started to look at anyone else that are their balance that are out of whack. So that was the experience I had with my out of body experience. So I agree with you on that. I definitely do.
And look, I can even take it a step further, man. You might have been in the same position as somebody at one point in your life and it still wouldn't be the same exact position as what they're in.
That's right.
Just because of the way that people see things differently, because we're all individuals.
Yeah.
What you might have been able to conquer as yourself, and somebody might have, like, okay, here, a perfect example. My parents died. I had a hard time with it. I literally ended up burying my whole family within a 5-year period, like every single person in my family within a 5-year period. There's people that have lost their parents that still are not over it, and they cry every day, and they still can't come to grasp with it, and it's been 10, 15, 20 years.
That's true.
I was able to move on, you know? So, I mean, like, that's kind of like a, you know, just an example. But again, like, what the way that you're able to handle something and the way somebody else is able to handle something are two different handlings of something, and it could be the exact same thing.
You're right about that, man. It's so true.
So, you know, that's it. Like, look, I remember... And dude, God, I mean, this poor guy, man. So, another story on hallucinates. So, me and my buddy were, another one of my friends and stuff, we were doing mushrooms. And this guy that we used to hang out with, I knew how he was. And I know how the drugs are. And... we were having a good time, me and my buddy, and this dude came over and he wanted to hang out, and he was like, hey man, let me, you know, I've never done it before, let me try it. And I literally told him, I was like, man, look, I know you. You won't be able to do this, dude. This is not for you. And he was like, no, come on, man. Like, you know me, like, I'm a good dude and stuff. And I'm like, brother, I know that. Like, I love you to death. Yeah. This is not for you. Like, I promise you that this is not for you. Like, just let it go. You know what I'm saying? Just learn from what I'm telling you, that this is not for you. And take it and run with it. And just trust. Like, I wouldn't shit you. You're my favorite turd. Yeah. That kind of, you know what I mean? And he just was very, very much about doing it. So my other buddy was like, you know what, man? Let him learn. Let him try. Let him learn for himself. Okay. By the end of the night, long story short, by the end of the night, we ended up having to take this dude to the hospital because he ended up getting into, I think, 13 different fights with 13 different cars because they were talking. Wow. He beat up a lamppost that stole his girlfriend. We ended up, like, at one point in the night, he had made his way down to the golf course because my buddy lived off of a golf course. He made his way down on the golf course and was up in an oak tree eating acorns naked. But, like, look, at the end of the night, this dude ended up breaking all of his fingers, one of his wrists, one of his ankles. Because it wasn't for him. Like, he didn't.
You gave him a warning. You
Like, I'm a pretty good judgment of character, especially when it's somebody that I know. You know what I mean? Like, when you've dabbled in something, look, it would be like if I was an engineer and somebody was like, hey, I want to build a dam, let's do it. And you're like, dude, you need to go to engineering school in order to learn how to build a dam the proper way. No, man, I'm going to build a dam.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that you're going to, dude. I think that you need to be an engineer in order to do that. And they go and build a dam, and the water busts right away. You know? So it was unfortunate, but he learned. And I didn't see the dude for 6 months. And he came back and was like, brother, you were right, man. That just wasn't for me. You know, but, you know, so again, look, everybody does, everything is done a different way depending on who the person is. And not all the time. I mean, like, look, there's people that do mushrooms every weekend and have a blast and understand how to use them the correct way and know that they're not going to freak out. And God bless them. But
yeah,
not everything is for everyone.
Exactly.
So, you know, like, again, man, we all have the same chemistry because we're all built the same, but we all have different chemistry because we're all individuals.
Yes. I definitely agree with that.
You know, one of the things that pisses me off about these elites are that they think that they're better than they think they're like a masterful part of the human race, and they're not.
Yeah.
You know, so when you're
false illusion.
Yeah. So like, you know, like money doesn't always make the world go around, man. Like there's plenty of people that like, I believe are stronger and more powerful that are living on a hilltop, man, in the middle of nowhere because they don't have people telling them what the fuck to do. They're their own person.
Yeah.
So when these elites tell me like, hey man, this coronavirus, you need to stay indoors.
Yeah.
I would literally tell them to suck my asshole if I had their phone. You know what I mean? Like, because that's just me, dude. Yeah. I don't need somebody telling me, like, I'm a full grown adult, man, just like these guys are. I'm not going to get sick. Like, look, let's do it like this also. Before the coronavirus even came around.
Mm-hmm.
If you had the flu, I'm asking you personally, if you had the flu, would you be going out and hanging out with people and going to like restaurants and going
hell
to the store?
No. Hell no. I can tell you, around like November, I had December, around Christmas time, I had one of the worst cases of, my wife said it was a flu, but ever getting sick type of experience ever. That shit was terrible. I had no energy. My body was aching. It was terrible, right? And I literally did not even want to go to the Christmas gathering and all that. But my wife, you know, I had to make a united front. And I showed up, but I was just on the couch the whole time in my own little corner. Didn't want no one to, like, touch me or talk to me. I might just look at them and greet them and shake my head, but I didn't want to be around anyone. So I know. Okay. I agree.
And look, and did you need somebody to tell you to stay away from everybody?
Hell no.
So it makes this shit any different, dude. It's a fucking flu. Like, the only thing that's making this shit crazy is you have media and you have people that have a lot of money pushing a narrative.
Pushing agendas, I agree.
Right. That is that this shit is, like, killing people crazy. No. Yeah. Pull up the statistics of the flu for the last 5 years, and you'll notice that we lose the same amount of people, if not more, to the regular flu than we have to the coronavirus. Except that people are making a big thing of it. Like, if the media didn't talk about the coronavirus right now, guess what? People fucking forget about it.
That's so true. And you said something powerful, though. You said something real powerful. If the people wasn't watching the news, they won't even know this stuff is serious.
No, that's just it. If they weren't bombarded with bullshit media, whether it's, this is crazy too. So YouTube started to delete people's videos if it didn't
fall
in line. If it didn't follow the guidelines of the WHO.
There you go. Yep.
Dude, the WHO is one of the biggest problems, man. Like, they're so fucking shit, dude, their eyes are brown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't know what the fuck is going on, dude. They're in cahoots with the Chi-Coms.
Yeah. And speak on the WHO, please. So those who aren't aware can have an idea.
The World Health Organization, that's full of shit, that's like basically funded by the, let me go ahead and say it, The Bill Melinda Foundation.
Mm.
Right. That's like their main contributor. It was the United States was the number one contributor. And then after that was the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Mm.
Now, Trump just cut off all ties to the WHO. He's like, you guys are full of shit. You guys are fucking mongering. You guys are putting out false narratives. We're cutting your funding. So now the number one donation or the number one contributor to the WHO is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.